This is another damn podcast about digital asset management. I'm Henrik de Geer. Today I'm speaking with Nick Felder. Nick, how are you?
I'm good. Great to be here.
Nick, how are you involved with digital asset management?
So I'm probably a very non-traditional adherent proponent, advocate of digital asset management. My background is production. So in here at Coca-Cola, I'm the global head of film and music production for the entire enterprise, all territories and all brands. So I really come at it from a user standpoint, both the person in charge of making the stuff that'll go into the dam and also, you know, the person who would use the stuff that he would take out. So I'm kind of coming at it from a much more practical standpoint. I do not have an IT background. I do not have a technical background. I've learned a boatload about both of those along the way. That's how I found my way into the space and really helping the company globally, Coca-Cola globally, move forward and digitize its processes and get on capable platforms that can be deployed worldwide, right? So we're not looking at Europe has one, North America has another, South America has a third, you know, an individual company in South America has a fourth, that kind of thing, keeping us all in the same platform.
Nick, how does the world's largest beverage company use digital asset management?
It's a really good question because it has evolved over the years. Our first foray into digital asset management was mostly about distribution and getting assets from one part of the world to another. And I should say, you know, probably the single word that describes a strategy and really underlines everything we do is reuse. It's all about reuse for us. Reuse of work is where the productivity comes from, where the efficiency comes from, where the speed to market comes from. And that goes across all brands, all channels, all methodologies, really. Everything needs to turn into everything. It's another mantra we use around here. So if I take a still image that was originally intended for out of home and it ends up on my phone, that it may end up being a digital image or at least being distributed on a digital platform, but that doesn't change what it is. Inherently, it is still, you know, an image with rights if there are people in it, you know, frames, resolution, this kind of thing. So that mantra of reuse really, really is the main thing, if not the only thing the company is really looking for in doing that. And that means distribution globally, all media, moving media, still image media, audio, and interactive. That means being able to do that with rights management components. So parallel to the DAM system, we have a global rights management system where we're able to pay, actually extend the usage rights of any work that got made anywhere in the world so that any other market anywhere in the world can reuse it if it wants to. And we've got a way of paying those rights holders reliably, you know, in their currency, in their market globally. And actually unlocking that was really the key, the kind of the hidden key to standing up a viable enterprise-wide DAM platform. It's got to be transactional if people are going to reuse stuff around the world. And once they can reuse it, they always need to adapt it. So as they adapt it, change out their packaging, change out their logos, change out their branding, however they need to tag it before they put it on air, because that's kind of where the rubber hits the road, and then reloading that adapted version back into the DAM. So we have a parent-child structure set up to accommodate that, so everything gets associated with the initial core creative unit that was made. Probably the last piece I'll add to that in the reuse thing is the other piece of reuse is not just reusing the thing as the thing it was made for. So again, if I made a piece of out of home and it gets adapted in another market to be reused as more out of home, that's fine. But I think if we approach this stuff more, if we tag it and bag it right going into the DAM, we can reuse it more like a commodity. Footage, images, audio. It's really just a commodity. Like we try to think of it like lumber, where you can remake anything out of it that you want. So here's some footage of a Cook and Meals spot. That's interesting. You're really just looking for some beach, a still image for a beach thing that you're doing on a web related platform, if that moving footage was captured and stored at a high enough resolution, and there is indeed a beach shot while you're eating food in the Coke and Meal spot on the beach, you can steal it, you can grab it, you can reframe it, and then you can reuse that image however you want. You can even frame out the people. You don't get involved with rights issues. So it's all that reuse that I described initially, and then the last piece is really approaching it like a commodity. And that commodity aspect has been kind of mind bending for a lot of associates around the world. Our agencies tend to understand it much better when we direct them to the dam and say, go look for this, go look for that. You can find the images you need to stand up whatever application, microsite, whatever, you know, social conversation you're trying to put forward. Just being able to approach it like a commodity has just provided a lot of freedom.
It sounds like reuse is the main way to get the maximum return on investment, to your point.
That's the ROI. That's the only ROI that I'm really judged on here. And so far, so good. So fingers crossed.
Excellent. Nick, what are the biggest challenges and successes you've seen with digital asset management?
Wow. It's also a really good question. And to be incredibly practical and non-BS about it, I think at the end of the day, it really all boils down to the user experience. At no point, at least in my travels and really in everybody I've ever spoken to, at no point will you ever be in a position where you'll get senior management or budget holders to dive into the details the way you need to dive into the details and work out all the parameters that need to be worked out for the thing to work. Authentication, permissions, et cetera, et cetera, et cetera. All that stuff that makes it work the way it does, people are just going to look at it like, does search work? If I put in some terms and I get some awesome results, excellent, it works. If I put in terms and I get wobbly results or conflicting results or all the rest of it, it doesn't work and thumbs down. And so as far as successes, I mean, it's one of those things where like all the homework that it's like good comedy. Actually, that's a better metaphor. Doesn't matter how much research you do. Doesn't matter where you set the location, who you cast, all the rest of that. It's, did I laugh? And if you laugh, then it's funny. If you don't laugh, it's not funny. And it's really that way for digital asset management as well, at least in my experience. The main challenge is always the return on investment. I described ours, previously as reuse. That may not be, and I actually know in a lot of other markets, that's not necessarily the ROI that people are after, but that's certainly ours. And I think just being clear, that's not complicated. Man, I've seen some case studies where things get so involved and you can just tell there were 3-5 different consultants brought in and the language is confused and the outcome is confused and the measurement and the metrics are confused. Keep it simple. Keep it tight. Give yourself an easy to judge against premise to the point where even if the numbers don't necessarily add up, everybody can kind of feel it in their gut, right? That things are moving forward, that things are now happening reliably, consistently, and that use is growing amongst whatever your user groups are. Clear, simple, easy to understand ROI. I think a lot of times budget holders and super senior management, I'm going to use a bad word here, but see a lot of bullshittery around technology that goes this deep because it's not familiar to them and they feel like they might be being hoodwinked. So if you can keep it in common, normal, regular, plebeian language, English or whatever your native tongue is, just keep it simple. You can go a lot further towards kind of winning people's hearts. Avoid corporate speak, avoid tech speak. Just keep it real and you can go a lot further. I broke my pencil trying to stand up a few versions of Dam before I got my first one off the ground. So I can speak to that pain firsthand.
And what advice would you like to share with Dam professionals and people aspiring to become Dam professionals?
Well, I'll talk to the aspirationals first. I would say probably the easiest, again, things that I learned the hard way, which is that from my experience here, it's not all about senior management sponsorship. That's a piece of it. And it's not all about massive consensus sort of on the worker bee level. You need both. And if I can give any advice to anybody trying to get into this space or struggling in this space, it's to work both those angles at the same time. Presentations, videos, messages, experientials, hands-on trial, whatever you need to do for senior management. And the same thing, probably couched very, very differently. So strategic messaging for seniors and much more tactical, demonstrable, how this will make your day better kind of messaging for the worker bees. But working from the bottom up and the top down so that there is a mix of strategic messaging and tactical messaging, strategic benefits and tactical benefits that are clearly being demonstrated in parallel, I think that's the path, because one will always point to the other and say, yeah, that's all great. That's awesome up at 30,000 feet, but how does it really, where's the rubber meet the road? How does it really work? Mm-hmm. And if you do all the really, how does it work? You're going to get the exact opposite. That's awesome. But what's the strategic play here for bringing the country or the region, the territory, if not the planet, together onto a single platform? So approach both. And I think you probably have simultaneously, and you probably have your best chance for success, your best chance for winning. Advice to existing damn professionals, just with a smile, I'm not sure I can give much. I think most damn professionals have probably struggled through a very, very, very long road. I already know where they are. And sometimes there's not a lot of talking to them. And again, I said it with a smile. I'm barely a damn professional coming from the production side. But I would simply say some of the developments in the last 18 months in the industry going towards semantic graph databases and neural networks and machine learning, kind of all the buzzwords that we're hearing around the industry right now. But there's real stuff in there that can toss out real tangible benefits that were almost science fiction, 4 and 5 years ago. It's like, yeah, that's nice, but that's just not happening in the real world in my lifetime. And lo and behold, it's happening. And that's great at a consumer, or rather at a commercial grade level. And that's great. So just stay on top of your tech.
Well, thanks, Nick.
Yeah, thank you. Thank you very much.
For more on this, visit anotherdampodcast.com. If you have any comments or questions, please feel free to email me at anotherdamblog@gmail.com. Thanks again.